Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
So last week, Pastor Brian started off a new series called Empowered to Serve. We want to be servants and we want to serve effectively. But you know, you cannot serve without Holy Spirit. You'll be inactive. You can do something, but you will not do what God has wanted you to do at full measure. Holy Spirit takes you to another level. And last week, Brian shared here and told us that Holy Spirit is a person. You can relate with Him. But the beauty about Holy Spirit is also God. He's all powerful. You can trust Him. And so today, I want to pick off from there and go to empowered to serve the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I have never met anyone who hates gifts. In fact, all of us love gifts. Did you know that the Holy Spirit has a gift for each and every one of you? All of you. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not a monopoly of the few. It is for all believers. And so today I want to speak about those spiritual gifts, the ability, the supernatural ability for you to function under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in different gifts. So when we speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these are gifts that are given graciously by Holy Spirit to every believer. So each and every one of us has an opportunity to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are you walking? Do you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And so in the next 3 weeks, we'll be dealing with all the 9 gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, let's go there. Paul writes extensively about those gifts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there? Come on, turn to your Bible. Turn to your Bible. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll start from verse 7. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, just knock him a bit and tell him, dude, style up. Just a bit. Are you there? Scripture says, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. Another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as He determines. You need to recognize from this text, the scripture says, as He determines, meaning that Holy Spirit gives us these gifts, not because we deserve it, because He loves you. They are grace gifts. When you hear the word grace, it means none of us has a degree in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. None of us says, I'm going to work so hard so that I can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is by His grace that He hands them over to us. And the reason why Holy Spirit gives us these gifts is to serve people. Tell your neighbor, it's to serve people. When you miss that part of it, then you exalt yourself, and yet the gifts are supposed to exalt Jesus, not to exalt me. So every time you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Paul has mentioned them, prophecy, healing, interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues, gifts of faith, miraculous power, all those gifts are here and available for each and every one of us. But the Holy Spirit requires us to do certain things. One, the gifts as to serve others. I've already mentioned that. This is what the scripture says. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For all of us. And these gifts are to serve other people. But also they are to serve you. When you're sick in your body, you can decree by the power of the Holy Spirit and you get healed. When you're stuck somewhere, you can ask God to give you a word of wisdom. So they can both serve you as an individual, but also they serve others. And they are beyond the four walls of the church. I've realized that these days many of us think these gifts only operate when we are in church. No, these gifts are meant to go beyond the four walls of the church. Now, watch this. As we operate in those gifts, the motive should be love. Tell your neighbor, love. Love is the most excellent way of operating in these gifts. 1 Corinthians, again, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. 13:1 says this. If I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong, a clinging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, the Bible says you are what? You are nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. The motivation of operating in these gifts should always be love. That is the most excellent way. The love you have for others and the love you have for Jesus. When we operate in these gifts as a result of love, we see greater impact in the lives of people. When we are proudful, when we are full of pride, people will resist these gifts. Even when you have a true gift. But when you walk in love, you will draw multitudes to who Jesus is. And the attitude, you see, love, you can't divorce love from humility. You can't say you love and you are so proud. And humility is the way we approach as we serve people. I want to say this. Even as I go through today, I want you to note, without humility, you miss the point. Because you exalt self instead of exalting Jesus. You think the gift is about you. It's not. The gift is about him. It's about Jesus. Because the scripture says, Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. So these gifts ought to be operated in love, in humility. That is the attitude that each and every one of us should carry. Now, there are 9 gifts that we have read in 1 Corinthians 12. There are quite many, but we want to concentrate on 9, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 9 of them, and we categorize them in 3 categories. We call them revelational gifts. Today we are going to look at that. We have the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then we have discerning of spirits. We have what we call vocal gifts, speaking in other tongues, interpretation of the tongues, but also prophecy. Then we have what we call the power gifts. Now, I know many of you love the power gifts, where we have faith, gifts of healing, and miraculous power. Let me say this. None of the gifts is greater than the other. Are you hearing me? All gifts are gifts. If I got my watch and I gave it to Pastor Joe as a gift, Joe cannot say, hey, you've taken it. That's very good. Joe cannot say, no. You can stay with it. Joe cannot say, you know, the watch is, you should have given me the other one. No, it is a gift. So I want you to note that none of these gifts is greater than the other. It's very important for us to note. So I want us to go to what we call the revelation gifts. What are revelation gifts? The word is revelation. Meaning to reveal. So these are gifts Holy Spirit makes known to us, certain things that naturally speaking, we have no clue about. Holy Spirit in his own wisdom and knowledge, because he's God, he's all-knowing, makes known to us things that naturally we didn't know. Isn't that great? That you don't need to go to a sorcerer. You don't need to go to witchcraft. You don't need to go to a palm reader. Holy Spirit can give you these gifts to know anything that you didn't know. That's beautiful. So let's go into what those gifts are, one by one. Let's go to the word of wisdom. You see, there's a difference between general wisdom and word of wisdom. You see, all of us, whether you're born again or not, you possess wisdom. Whether you're a believer or not, you possess wisdom. But a word of wisdom only comes to those who are believers. You have to be a believer under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get a word of wisdom. So what is a word of wisdom? It is supernatural insight on what to do or say in a difficult situation. Have you ever been in a difficult situation? Come on, if you've been in a difficult situation, right? Now, in those difficult situations, Holy Spirit will tell you what to do or how to act. So Holy Spirit gets the part of tiny wisdom of who God is and deposits it in your life. Not all wisdom. That's why we say it's a word of wisdom. Just a tiny bit of it. And let me tell you, a tiny bit of God's wisdom is all you need. It's all you need. One time I had one of the leadership gurus, it was Maxwell, he said a statement that changed my life. He said, every year, when he's beginning there, he never tells God to tell him, to give him a lot of things. He says, God, just give me one. Because if only one thing comes from your throne of grace, that will change my whole life. I said, that is powerful. So a word of wisdom is that insight that God gives you, God the Holy Spirit gives you when you're stuck in a situation. And we see Jesus living his life operating in the word of wisdom. But before even I go to Jesus, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been stuck in a situation and you tell God, God, I don't know what to do. And in that very moment, he throws something for you to do. Have you been in an interview when you're stuck, you're sweating, and you say, God, what do I say? In that moment, he tells you what to say. And everyone thinks you're brilliant. Indeed, you are. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And so he gives you a word of wisdom. Let's see Jesus' life. John 8:1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman, such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question to trap Jesus in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down, started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on asking him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone to her. That in that moment was a word of wisdom. Because Jesus was going to be trapped. I remember another story. You know, give Caesar to what belongs to Caesar? Same thing. They said, you know, Master, so should we pay our taxes? Should we pay our allegiance to Caesar? And Jesus looks at the coin. He says, whose face is on that coin? Caesar's, they said. And he said, give Caesar to what belongs to Caesar. Now, that was a word of wisdom. In that moment, our Father Jesus needed a word from the Holy Spirit. But now you may be thinking, but Pastor, that is Jesus. I would expect Jesus, honestly, to... I know some of you, that's what you're thinking. That is Jesus. But did you know that we are living in better time? That's why the scripture said, let me go. Jesus says, let me go, that you may experience these better times. I've seen this. I was in Watoto Church in Tinda. I preached a sermon, so excited. After preaching, I was preaching a sermon about the woman, the adulterous woman, the prostitute woman who brought a jar full of oil and anointed Jesus. So after preaching, A lady, she was a doctor. She comes and says, "Pastor, thank you for preaching. That was beautiful. But I have a question for you." Now, I didn't know what she was going to ask. She said, "From the way you preached, this woman was a prostitute, right?" I said, "Yes." So she asked me, "So God, we can steal money from anywhere and bring it before Him. God does not mind the source of the money." And honestly, I'd never thought about that. But this woman, she's a doctor, I think she's thinking. So she's wondering, okay, this is a prostitute woman. She has earned money out of prostitution. She has brought it to Jesus. And Jesus said, this one should be spoken about all her life. In that moment, Holy Spirit gave me a word of wisdom. And Holy Spirit told me, tell her, by the time that lady came to enter the house and started weeping and crying, already she was broken inside for Jesus. Because that was a shame for her. So by the time she came and knelt and cried before Jesus and wept, that was a season of repentance for that woman. When I said that, the lights went on. The doctor said, "Wow, that is so good, Pastor." I said, I know. That is Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. I have another friend of mine. He's a businessman. He had a very successful business. And so Holy Spirit tells him, he had just gotten out of the plane, and Holy Spirit tells him, sell the business. He says, no. The numbers don't support the statement you're telling me. Because the business is making money. Holy Spirit said again, sell the business. So it was the word of wisdom. So he said, okay, I'll obey. He calls his partner in business. He says, you know what? I just feel we need to sell. Now, the other guy is a heathen. He said, so if you sell now, we are making a lot of money. It means I'll take a better share. He said, no problem. Let's sell. They sold the business when it was making a lot of money. 4 months after selling the business, war broke out in Juba. And the business was gone. So I pity the one who bought it. That was a word of wisdom. Number two, a word of knowledge. You see, a word of knowledge is simply the Holy Spirit giving you information and facts about something that naturally you wouldn't know. Now, there's a difference between word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom has to do with how do I act in the moment. Holy Spirit does not give you the information to why. You get what I mean? So this gentleman is selling off his business. He doesn't know why. That's a word of wisdom. It's just wisdom. You are doing an interview and the Holy Spirit says, you just say this. You don't know why. Now, word of knowledge, God gives you information that naturally you would not be able to know. You get what I'm saying? He gives you facts. He gives you something that you wouldn't know. Have you ever lost your keys and you say, God, Holy Spirit, show me where those keys are. And then all of a sudden, you hear a voice saying, go to your bedroom under the bed. Okay, you go there and find the keys there. Especially if you have children. You find the keys there. So that is knowledge. God is giving you a word of knowledge. And this goes to all areas of your life. It's not limited to only health. It's not limited on only lost things. It's in all areas of your life. Holy Spirit can give you information that no one knows. I have a friend who works in the exchange, New York exchange. He says it's amazing to have Holy Spirit. He can be there and Holy Spirit tells him in the next 2 hours the stocks are going to drop. So he tells his colleagues, guys, let's sell
now.
And they sell. One day they caught him. They thought he had inside. This is what we call inside trading. They thought he had information. No, he didn't. He had the Holy Ghost who knows everything. That's awesome. That's awesome. And they make a lot of money. They can't release him. Now we see this in the book of Acts. Go to Acts 5 verse 1 to 4. This is what it says. Now a man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it to the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Now, I want to ask you a question in this story. Was Ananias there when, was Peter there when Ananias was selling the land? How did he know? How did he know? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gave information that these guys sold and kept balance for themselves. And you know the repercussion of this story. But did you know that this is just not for the apostles? It is for us as Christians to walk in these gifts. These gifts are for us. These gifts are not supposed to stay in the Bible. In fact, as I was praying today, Holy Spirit just told me, did you know that these gifts are not for me? That's what he was telling me. They're not for him. He's God. He doesn't need any gift. These gifts are for us. Holy Spirit does not need them. Do you understand? He doesn't need them. So meaning he has them for all of us. That's beautiful. And for me, the word of knowledge has been one of the greatest gifts that I use. I use this a lot in counseling. Last month, there's a young man called David who came to church. David is a pharmacist. So he comes to Watoto Church Chengera. He's sick. He has boils and blisters in the mouth. He has tried to treat them because he's a pharmacist. He knows what to do. The blisters, the boils could not go. So what happened is when he was in service, God gave me a word of knowledge. I saw there's a young man here. You have blisters in your mouth. You have tried to treat them. But now God is healing you. There and then, all the blisters shrunk and got healing. There and then, that moment. And guess what? David comes to me after service. He was crying. So when I look at a big man crying, I'm wondering what's going on. And he has no wedding ring, so he's not chucked. Maybe he's dating. So I was wondering what's going on. So he comes and tells me, Pastor, you can't believe it. That gentleman was me. My entire family for the last 2 weeks have been treating this. And I'm a pharmacist. You see what baffled him? He's a pharmacist. He understands medicine. But Holy Spirit understands healing. And so, many stories. Another story I have for you is, this baffled me. I was doing counseling, and this lady tells me her story. She was going through hardship. She wanted deliverance and all that. But she didn't tell me. She left out certain information. So before I prayed, Holy Spirit gives me a word of knowledge. He tells me that this lady aborted my children, actually said my children. And so Holy Spirit told me, ask her, why did you kill my children? But I said, Holy Spirit, you always say we do it in love. This doesn't sound love. So, but because he mentioned, usually I say it, you know, with a calm spirit. But Holy Spirit said, why did you use, Holy Spirit used the word abort. So I looked at the lady. I told her, why did you abort God's children? The lady broke down and started crying and said, I've never told anyone. How did you know? To cut the long story short, she was delivered. Demons left her. Why? Because Holy Spirit can give you knowledge about something. That's what God wants. And lastly, the other gift is what we call discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is Holy Spirit helps you distinguish or recognize different kinds of spirits. Because we have different kinds of spirits at play, especially demonic spirits. And the reason Holy Spirit helps you distinguish between these spirits so that you can cast them out. They don't belong in our bodies. They don't. They belong in the air and elsewhere, but not in our bodies. And so Holy Spirit, in His own wisdom, helps you understand which spirit is at work in this person. We have a famous story in the book of Acts 16, verse 16. This is what it says. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, Luke is writing, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which he predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left. I want you to recognize in this text that the lady was speaking the right thing. The lady was saying, "Hey, these are guys from God. They're telling us the way to get born again." So the lady was prophesying, or he was declaring the right thing. But the spirit behind it was the wrong spirit. So he was, whatever this young girl was saying was true. But the spirit was a demonic spirit. The scripture says a spirit of divination. I joked with the pastors and I said, if this lady was in Kampala today, her church would be full. Full. It would be full. All of us would be saying, you know, we have men of God. I don't know how we call the women. What's the name? We have men of God. We have women of God, I think. Yeah? This church, if this lady was a pastor, I tell you, we would all be like this. Not me. We would be all like this. Would be saying, this thing is legit. But it was not. It was not legit. It was a demonic spirit. Listen, not everything the devil says, however true it is of God. I want to say something. Listen, without Holy Spirit, they would have fallen in the trap of thinking this woman was prophesying or saying the right words with the right spirit. But they required Paul to walk in the discerning of spirits, to know that this lady was operating under demonic spirit. And listen, it was not to shame her, it was to set her free. Then Paul rebuked the spirit and the woman was set free. Same with us. We need to walk in this gift so that we can tell which spirits are operating, especially in the city of Kampala. We're in trouble, I'm telling you. Because not every word that is true is anointed of God. And I've seen this in my life. We've cast out, here in church, we've cast out demons left and right. Why? We've told which spirit is operating. Spirit of lust, spirit of greed. And to know those spirits, you need to allow Holy Spirit to give you the gift of discerning of spirits. But also, this is just not for ministry. Your daily life. Have you ever gone to a certain office and you realize something is not right? Everything seems okay, but something is not right. Now, in that moment, Holy Spirit will tell you that there's a spirit of witchcraft operating in your business. It has happened to us. We have visited families whose business, everything seems okay, but you feel something is not right. You say, you know what? I think person X and Y has a spirit of this. Can you let them go? And when they have followed the advice, their business has flourished. And some of us need this gift to set free our businesses. Come on, give praise to God. Now, all this is exciting, right? It's all exciting to know there's a gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. The question is, how do I then receive these gifts? Because that's important. How do I operate and receive these gifts? Quickly, one, honestly desire after Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. No one else gives them. It's only Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the only one who gives the gifts. He possesses the gift. Luke 11:11 says this. Which of you fathers, if you ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And today we are going to ask Holy Spirit. Brian already started when he was praying. We're going to ask that Holy Spirit will fill us. I want to say this. Holy Spirit is already here. We are not going to pray that Holy Spirit will come. He already came on the day of Pentecost. So he's already here. Scripture says, we pray that we may receive. Are you getting me? Tonight we are going to pray that we will receive. Not for him to come. He's already here. We're going to pray that we'll receive. Number two, how do we operate in these gifts? Eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Eagerly desire those gifts. Why do we desire? You have to hunger and thirst for those gifts and say, Holy Spirit. And you don't only eagerly desire, but you also ask, Holy Spirit, will you impart your gifts in my life so that I can be effective in the ministry you've called me, in the calling upon my life, but also so that I can serve others? I am amazed when Paul writes to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is one of the most, if not the most gifted church during the early church. But I'm amazed they had all these gifts, but Paul twice tells them eagerly desire. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 20, 31. He says this, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. But he doesn't stop there. He goes to chapter 14, verse 1. He says the same thing. He says, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire gifts of the Holy, the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And we'll look at that next week. So Paul is seeing a church that is gifted, but he continues to tell them, eagerly desire. Now I'm shocked. I would expect Paul to say, you know what, you guys have already received the gift, so it's okay. No, there is more. There is always more. Their gifts have not walked in. I can't wait to walk in them. Their gifts have walked in. So tonight we're going to pray that Holy Spirit fill us. We're going to pray that we receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, we're going to eagerly desire. Say, God, may you, Holy Spirit, release your gifts to be operational in my life. But number three, which is one of the most important, exercise the gifts. If you don't exercise the gift, there's a principle in the Bible, you lose it. I'm serious. You have to exercise the gift. Brian supports Man U. Man U has players who I don't understand, but they're there. Now, those players, they have to what? Exercise. Otherwise, we can't say they are good football players. That's why they're not. Now, until you exercise well. So with the spiritual gifts, you have to exercise. If it's word of knowledge, when you receive a word of knowledge, you need to declare it. Now, I know many of us are saying, what if it's wrong? Remember when I started, I said, if it's motivated by love, it's okay. Do you get me? If it's motivated by love, it is okay. Are you hearing me? Love and humility helps us grow in these gifts. So we are going to exercise today. You can't receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit, unless you're born again.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.